the devil's advocates. Rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. Your phone calls, they're always welcome here. Barely screened at 844-967-2789. We've had a run of reasonable conservatives today. I don't know what's gotten into the audience. I'm just waiting for CJ to come throw a Molotov cocktail into the mix. Here is some breaking news that might be of interest to our Wisconsin listeners, although you're going to have to connect some dots. I'll do that for you. Supreme Court has denied the Republican challenges to the congressional maps in North Carolina and Pennsylvania. And on Friday, we talked about the ruling of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, the 4-3 ruling, upholding the redistricting maps of Democratic Governor Tony Evers. And before the ink was even dry on Saturday's paper, because that was the headline, the Republicans said they were going to appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, I'm not saying, you know, it's a foregone conclusion, but this newest ruling from the court would seem to indicate that, you know, maybe the courts don't want to jump in and do a lot of wholesale drawing of districts. I'm just saying. The Supreme Court on Monday night, I guess it's Monday night, denied requests from Republicans challenging congressional maps in North Carolina and Pennsylvania that have been approved by other courts. Again, see the prior Wisconsin example. In two rulings that could benefit Democrats in the midterm elections. Well, in both cases, I believe the courts had been sympathetic to the Democrats. And I guess you could say that Tony Evers, by, you know, putting forth the least change map selected by the 4-3 Wisconsin Supreme Court, I guess you'd call that a prior victory in the courts. I suspect the U.S. Supreme Court will not take up the Republican challenge to the Wisconsin redistricting. 844-967-2789. Gonna play some Bill Barr sound from the interview. You all skipped, so did I. But first, Dave from Mequon, another perhaps reasonable conservative. We'll see, Dave. We'll see. What do you got for us?
Hey, Crudy. Thanks for taking my call. Really quickly, I just want to point out to you, and I sent some articles to Evan, and the CNBC, just so you know, on February 24th, Ahmed Neuberger, Biden pauses new oil and gas leases amid the legal battle over costs of climate change. So what happened there was, and it just so happens, it coincided almost basically the same time, if you remember, when Russia invaded Ukraine. Because now it's tied up in the legal courts right now. We are unable to, even if we wanted to extract any additional natural gas or oil based on this decision that just happened around the same time.
Dave, you remember in the state of Wisconsin when they were putting in the high-capacity wells, and the former Attorney General of the United the former Attorney General, the Republican AG, Brad Schimmel, made a ruling that basically took the DNR's opinion out of it and did not allow them to account for cumulative water usage, no matter how many straws were sucking the water out of the aquifer. It was a bad choice by the Attorney General then to make sort of a blanket opinion that wasn't predicated on science. Now, Dave, I'm gonna point out, I agree with the ruling. I think that you have to take into effect what it is that you're taking out of the ground or putting into the ground. So if the courts say you should take into account the environmental damage done or the carbon released, Dave, I think that should be part of the decision-making process before we license more mining sites, sir.
Well, just for the record, if you also know, and I'll just bring this to your attention, President Xi and President Putin just signed a brand new 30-year deal where they're going to be taking natural gas from Russia directly to China. China's building a new coal plant. Every week, there's a new coal plant that China's putting online, just for the record. The second thing is, why is Biden allowing Russia, of all places, to not only with the whole oil issues, if Putin was in his shoes, he put U.S. sanctions on our oil, trust me. He wouldn't even hesitate. That's
why isn't Biden sanctioning the Russian oil? I'm not clear. Mm-hmm. I agree with you on that point, Dave. I'd like to see it happen. I believe even Speaker Nancy Pelosi last week was advocating for a ban on Russian imports. Mm-hmm. So if that's your advocacy, Dave, you've convinced me.
Well, the other thing is...
But that's contradictory to your earlier point about more mining and more sites, Dave, because that is not going to make oil any cheaper here. It's going to make it more expensive.
Well, I guess that at the end of the day, when you talk about the Keystone Pipeline, we're now importing that oil that's not coming through the new pipeline, the XL pipeline, through train. So we're using trains as opposed to a pipeline, which is much more inefficient, much more carbon intense, if you want to call it. And that's what's happened with that aspect.
You know, there's no great answers to transport petrochemicals, because I agree. Effectively, you make weaponized trains because they're driving around with highly flammable cargo. I'm not a big fan of putting it on the trains either. But you know what?
Right.
I haven't seen trains create the spills in the environment in the same way I have seen in like the Exxon Valdez and the offshore platforms and even the pipelines. You know, we look at what happened here, or more accurately, what happened to the Kalamazoo River in Bridge. That pipeline, I mean, it leaked oil for, 36, 38 hours? You know, they're never going to clean up that mess, Dave. And at some point, we can do better and cleaner, Dave. I have no doubt that we could drill, or we could put all of our activities, instead of giving tax breaks to ExxonMobil that's been lying about the consequences of their oil-based economy since the 1970s, I mean, they've been hiding their science from us because they knew we were burning up the planet, Dave. And even if you don't believe me, even if you think it's just polluting the planet, or even if you just believe it puts powers into the hands of despots like Putin, why would we move away from a petrochemical economy, Dave? We can do it. We're the Americans, man. We went to the moon.
At the end of the day, if you look at the minerals that are used for green energy, China controls 87% of that. So we're either...
How about windmills, Dave? Does China control the wind?
The minerals that you need to make the wind turbines, yes, they do. The batteries, everything, all that stuff, they do.
You know, I hear you can make those batteries out of hemp oil. Literally, you can make them out of renewable hemp, dude. That could be a win-win. Legalize marijuana, you can smoke it, or you can turn it into a battery, Dave.
You got to use a lot of water to make hemp, just so you know. And we don't have a lot of fresh water to use in order to do that at this time.
Well, hemp is not more water-intensive than most of the crops, man. I'd rather see us grow an industrial hemp than almonds, dude. It takes so much water to create almonds. I mean, we use ridiculous amount of water to produce the beef that you and I eat every night, Dave, or at least I eat. I won't speak for you. Maybe you're a vegetarian.
I love beef. Got to have beef.
Well, you know what? It takes a hell of a lot of water and human resources and petrochemical resources based on the current economy to bring all that beef to table, Dave. You know, that nice burger, that tenderloin you're going to have for dinner? That cost a lot of oil and water, buddy. They're all finite resources.
The whole world, Crudy, runs on oil. All the plastic, asphalt shingles, tires, asphalt driveways, all runs on
oil. But so much of that could be replaced with hemp-based products or other products. Man, we're an industrious people, Dave. If we stop trying to use the one chemical to solve every problem, I mean, it's like we think we can only make stuff out of oil, Dave. We are industrious people, dude. We could.
Oil is the most versatile. It's the most versatile, wily universe, element.
I'm going to put it up against hemp, dude. Hemp is way more versatile, and you can grow it, and it's renewable, and we don't need any more dinosaurs to die and get planted in the soil a billion years ago to produce more of it.
Well, I guess we'll just disagree to disagree today.
Well, you weren't unreasonable about it, though, Dave, so I'll give you credit for that. Thanks for listening. 844-967-2789. Between the foreign policy and the oil policy, come on, man. It's all interrelated, guys. We could solve it all with one policy change. Great new deal. Looking backwards at the former attorney general under Trump, Bill Barr is out there still trying to restore his reputation. And he went on the NBC last night with Savannah Guthrie. And he cast a little blame in regards to Donald Trump. He says, I do think he has some responsibility for the January 6th. And let's play some of the sound. We got just a couple bites. Not a lot of Bill Barr. We won't. I don't know. This isn't broccoli. Cauliflower, maybe. Covered in oil drippings. But let's play the Bill Barr with Savannah Guthrie. Worried about the peaceful transition of power. And I think we've got both the question from the fine journalist and the answer from the pompous former AG. Play it for the people. Cut 22.
You write in this letter, this resignation letter, I am proud to have played a role in your many successes. You go on to say your record is all the more historic because you accomplished it in the face of relentless, implacable resistance. Even if you felt that way, this is somebody you told Mike Pompeo he's dangerous. You say in your book you were worried about the peaceful transition of power. You even had national security concerns that you voice in your book. None of this is present in this resignation letter. Didn't the American people deserve to know what you knew?
Yes.
Well, I think on December 14th, that's when the state certified the vote. And that's the day I tendered my resignation. The election was over for all intents and purposes. The idea that something could be done later on January 6th was nonsense. And once the election was locked in on December 14th, I tendered my resignation. And I knew Trump was, you know, going to be leaving office.
Hmm. Well, not peacefully. One more from Bill Barr and Savannah Guthrie, yet he'd still vote for Donald Trump. Cut 23.
Finally, God, you say in your book it's time for the party to move on from Trump. Liz Cheney has said he is not fit to serve and should not be ever near the Oval Office again. Do you agree with that?
Well, I certainly have made it clear I don't think he should be our nominee, and I'm going to, you know, support somebody else for the nomination.
But if he is the nominee, and you have your choices, Donald Trump or whoever's running on the Democratic side, would you vote for him?
Big time.
Because I believe that the greatest threat to the country is the progressive agenda being pushed by the Democratic Party, it's inconceivable to me that I wouldn't vote for the Republican nominee.
So even if he lied about the election and threatened democracy, as you write in your book,
it's better than
a Democrat.
It's hard to project what the facts are going to turn out to be 3 years hence. But as of now, it's hard for me to conceive that I wouldn't vote for the Republican nominee.
All right. William Barr, always good to see you. Thank you so much for being here. Once again, the book is called One Damn Thing After Another. It's out tomorrow.
The book's out today. You buy in the book, you get the Bill Barr book. Don't buy the book. If you're going to buy the book, burn the book. You know, and I'm not for book burning, but if you need a little kindling, a little cold, it seems like an expensive piece of lighter fluid, but, you know, it's the only real purpose for the book, as far as I could tell. William Barr conceded that Donald Trump was responsible for the January 6th insurrection as part of his effort to overturn his election loss. I do think he was responsible in the broad sense of that word, in that it appears that it was part of a plan to send this group up to the Hill. I think the whole idea was to intimidate Congress. I think that was wrong. But you know what Bill Barr doesn't say? That Trump can be held legally responsible for those actions. Nor does he think he should be able to. Justice, you know, be served against his former boss. Now he's out there, he's trying to reclimate his image. You know, I didn't believe in Trump and da-da-da-da-da, but would you vote for him again? Oh, sure. Of course I would, because progressives, the progressive agenda. I mean, he talked about a politician, and I know he's supposed to be a legal guy, but he wasn't. He was clearly a politician, and he's still out there sanitizing the record of his former boss, and of course, by extension, covering his own ass. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. Your phone calls could be next. 844-967-2789. Dow Jones at 5.